Well, Mishnah 7, Mishnah Zion, Perkei Avos, Perek Aleph. All right. Nitei Har Beili Omer. Nitei Har Beili said, Harchek Mishachin Ra, distance yourself from a bad neighbor, Val Tischaber L'Rasha, and don't connect yourself to a wicked person, Val Tischiosh from the furnace, and don't despair from retribution. From heavenly retribution, meaning from that the Rasham will get. So we'll go first with the simple pshat. As always, you gotta understand the Mishnah simply. It says, "Harchik mishachin ra," distance yourself from a bad neighbor. So the Rav Tanur says that by doing so, you're not just keeping away from bad and stuff like that. But he says you're also basically saving your very body. Why? Because Rishonim, you know, the evil that things that they do, and you know, they basically they leave a lot of damage in their wake. Physical damage even. So by staying away from that, you save yourself from all sorts of damage and destruction. And the Mishnah ends off simply, don't worry. You know, it seems like they're having a good time, they're running around, they're trashing hotel rooms and stuff, but in the end, it's not gonna be so good, as everyone knows, the end of all those stories. The Teferes Yisrael, the Yachin says, the bad neighbor, he says, very interesting, he says, Harchek Mishachin Ra, says, stay away from a bad neighbor, and distance yourself, and don't connect with a Rasha. He says, a Ra, a bad neighbor and a Rasha, you'd think, who's the worst guy? A Rasha, Rasha is terrible. Bad neighbor, all right, you know, your neighbor is such a good guy. He says the opposite. He says, the Mishnah, if you look carefully, it says, Harchek Mishachin Ra, stay very far away from a bad neighbor, like, run away. V'al Tischaber, don't come too close to a Rasha. So what it has, that doesn't make much sense. I mean, you know, a Rasha is a Rasha, a bad neighbor, what's the big deal? So he says like this. He says the difference. You have to understand what does each one mean. So he says that a bad neighbor, he says, is someone who is prone to like anger and jealousy and haughtiness and all of like the bad midot and things of such things. So he says that those type of people, in the end, they could, you know, get into a fight with you and, you know, knock a light bulb out of your car. They basically, their anger and their bad midos can actually cause a person damage, like the Bar Tanura said. A Rasha, on the other hand, is someone who secretly has all sorts of taivas, and, you know, not necessarily Rasha, that, you know, the guy that goes and chal Shabbos and everything, but he has all sorts of taivas and does all sorts of things that are not pitora, but it's a private inner thing that he has problems, he has issues with all sorts of desires, and he can't hold himself back. So he says, when it comes to a bad neighbor, a guy that's bad midos and everything, you stay far away, because he's going to literally damage anyone around him. When it comes to a Russia, a guy who's having issues inside of different things, he says, him you should purposely not stay away from. He says, you should not come too close. It says, al-tischaber Russia, don't connect with him, but also don't go too far away from him. Basically, he says, you should show him that I love you and I want to have to do with you, and by doing that, he's going to be open to actually speaking to you, and actually, you could actually help him. In the same sense, don't connect with him. But in that sense, you keep a healthy distance and a closeness, and you show him that you actually appreciate him for who he is, and therefore you can actually bring him back le tshuva. That's what the Bartimir says about that. The Yachin, yeah.
Could it also be like you're saying, like neighbor has the connotation of someone, you know, you're close to, you're living next to this person. So it's almost like you have to go that extra to distance yourself further, because it's so easy to be attached to them. It's so easy to your neighbor to come on over, have a cup of tea, have a cookie, you know, and they're really rashan, they're really bad. So you really gotta distance yourself more, whereas we're not actively seeking rashan. We're not going out and saying, oh, let me go hang out with a guy who's destroying a hotel room. We're not doing that, so it's a little bit easier to say, don't go near them. Whereas your neighbor, you have to distance yourself further, because don't move to a place where you're going to have these people like that, and then they're coming to you, knocking your door, going, here, look, I'm really friendly. They put on that personage that they aren't.
100%. That sounds like the simplest, most real shot that would be. Yachin is giving a whole different shot, but that would be a very, very simple, true understanding of the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah said, "Al tischaber l'Rasha," don't connect with yourself with the Rasha. The same part again. But Tanur explains that this means that you shouldn't come close to Risham, even if you're convinced 100% they're not going to do anything to me. You know, I'm a tzaddik, I'm a this, I'm a that. Don't connect with the Risham. Don't come too close to them. I give an example, as the Rebbe Reb Nachman says in Torah Vav. He gives an example of someone that comes to enter into a tannery, into a really foul-smelling place. So even if he goes through the tannery and he you know, doesn't touch anything. He, you know, just walks through his clothing, everything is going to have a bad stench. Same thing with a Rasha, even if he doesn't have necessarily anything to do with them, he says, yeah, I'm going to be kosher, be osher, I'm just going to, you know, hang out with them. It never leads to good things. And even if a person does overcome his tithes and everything in such circumstances, still the bad stench will leave its impression on the person. This is the opposite of Mishnah 4, where the Bat Knuri said the exact same thing with Chachamim. The opposite. He says that you should bring Chachamim into your house, because just by having them around, you'll for sure acquire some of the perfume, some of the beautiful smells that the Chachamim bring in. There's a famous reggae rapper, Jewish person that was very firm a couple of years ago, but he signed a $20 million deal, and, you know, but he's going to be Hasidish even, you know. And you know, sadly, you know, you see that not necessarily he did anything bad, but things rub off. It's not exactly the smartest thing to just surround yourself with the worst Rishon in the world, no matter how strong you might feel that you are.
That's why they wrote the song Hotel California.
Yeah.
About the music industry.
That is
according to the songwriter.
How it corrupts the priest.
It gives you an impression of being in hell.
Oh, okay. There you go.
What, metal shows?
Hotel California.
It was written about the music industry in Southern California.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
in the
core?
It's not a good place to be, say. Aval tisyash min haparanis, it says, don't despair from retribution. So, the Bat Tanur says that, you know, the simple understanding is that, you know, here we are working and trying to come close to Hashem, and it's not going so good, and there we see this guy, the wicked guy that's having a great time and partying and everything. Just don't worry. Their day of retribution will come, whether it's in this world or next world. Just relax. The Yachin says, the Tiferes Yisrael says, the Mishnah is actually giving advice for two different types of people that are in two different places and with the same line in the Mishnah. He says, V'al tisyash min haparanis. One is talking about a bandwagon jumper. He's the guy that's always like, let's see who's having the best time right now. Oh, these guys are having a good time, so let me go hang out with them. These guys are having a good time. They're you know, succeeding. I'm gonna go hang out with them. And so each time he jumps into the things, and whoever's having a good time, he does it. So if they're doing evil things, the Mishnah is telling us, don't feel so confident, because eventually all evil in this world self implodes and leaves only like harshness and darkness in the world. And the other person that the Bartimaeus Yachin says the Mishnah is referring to is talking about a guy that like what we described before. He says, you know, he's trying to do good and everything's always happening to him. Al tisyonish b'na poronis, even if hardships, even if things are happening, poronis is the lashon of hardships, even if hard things are happening, don't give up, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with you, and all these challenges are just to kind of purify you so that you can come even closer to Hashem in a better way. So he says basically in the same line, Al tisyonish b'na poronis, is telling the guy that's having a great time in life, Hold on, you know, don't run so fast. And the guy that's having a hard time in life, he says, hold on, don't worry, Hashem's doing this for a reason. From Oso Tarevav, says, Imesak Shemayim Shomata, Rav Nachman says, Atziah Shali Neka, if you reach up to Shemayim, you know, Hashem is even higher, according to the Rebbe there. He says that even if you're having a good time, just go higher. That would be obviously in holiness. If a person's doing well, keep pushing to be even better. Even if you're having if you feel like you're in the pits of Gehenna, Hineka, Hashem is right with you. Don't give up. Hashem is going to be there. Hashem is right there with you, and don't give up. So these are both basically alluded to in Va'al Tisyash Min HaParonis from the Yachin. Now go back to the beginning of the Mishnah to get a little deeper understanding of the Mishnah. That was all the quote-unquote simple shot. Chek Mishachin Ra, so the Sfasema starts us off. He says, you know who this bad neighbor is? It's this neighbor that we're saying to distance yourself from? As classic Sfasema style, he says, Yetzahara. He's actually right inside you. He's not very far. He's right there. That little voice inside you. Hear him? That's the Yetzirah. That's your bad neighbor. Right? So how can we, according to Sfasemis, how do we stay away from him? So he says that you have to basically, the best way to do it is to keep away from permitted things. He says if you just straddle the lines of permitted and not permitted all the time, so eventually this Yetzirah is able to pull you over onto the other side. But if you distance yourself a little bit, and keep a healthy distance from the Yetzirah by taking, you know, a little extra, I don't want to call it chumras, because Rav Nachman said not to do chumras, but you keep away from the Yetzirah a little bit extra, then you're able to do stay away from this bad neighbor.
Like getting rid of your iPhone.
Getting rid of your iPhone. Very, very.
Yeah, let's not get personal.
Okay, let's not get personal. putting a filter on your iPhone, if there is such a thing, I don't know.
There you go.
So,
I use it in a strainer.
In a strainer,
put
here.
It in a strainer.
You gotta get a NoFig iPhone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have NoFigs and Flashers, depending on who I'm talking to.
I hear.
Yeah.
You know what the Satmar Rebbe said, you know? He said, Parv is trick.
Oh, yeah.
You know what that means?
No. Yeah.
In general, it could mean that, you know, like, yeah, when you have the parv spoon in your kitchen, generally that spoon is trafe. Because, you know, the guy, one guy used it for the meal, like one guy used it for the plate, you know, like, the parv is trafe. But what he really meant was that...
People you, are like,
right, so you can't be nistahi, nistahi. You can't be like, yeah, the Medina is okay, but it's not so bad, it's not so good. He held, you hold what you hold, you know? You're against the Medina, you're with
like
the Medina.
That's like the overall Kiddush thing. Like, it's not bringing you closer to Kiddush. So just, it's like Mila Deshtus, like, words that aren't bringing closer to Hashem, so in reality they're just, even if they're not like bad things, but if it's not bringing you closer to Hashem, so it's still like distancing you from your purpose.
Right.
So even if it's not making you tome, but it's not making you tohor, so what do you...
Yeah, yeah. In Judaism, generally your eyes are, you're either going up or you're going down. It's
right.
Not really a floating place.
I mean, it's like the internet. You could either have Drudge Report and Fox News slipping down to Doctor Who, slipping down to the favorite porn site.
Right. Okay. Yeah, basically, you gotta be careful.
And it's on the podcast.
Rav Nachman. It's not on the Jerusalem Cats website. Rav Nachman says, I don't know where Rav Nachman says this, but I've seen it in a Mishpacha. He's quoted this. If anyone could tell me where Rav Nachman actually says this, that would be very nice. He says, could be it's like kind of like a Rav Shlomo Rav Nachman. Whenever Rav Shlomo like quotes Rav Nachman, you have no idea where he gets it from. Like, Nachman said that, and then if you look really carefully, you see Rav Nachman had a Torah and Rav Shlomo understood it like this, and you're like, wow, it's a beautiful way of understanding of Nachman. So this is what it says. It said, where's the Yetzer Hara? Wherever you don't think he is. So what does that mean? This, we're talking about Hachik Mishach and Rav Yetzer Hara. So Mr. Weinberger brings a story, a very cute story, so to speak, of a tzaddik around 100 years ago that decided that he really wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael, even though it was very, very, a lot of Messiah's Nefesh in those days.
So early 1900s.
Something around there. That's the impression I got. He didn't say exactly, but it was, you know, before this date, I understood. It was a while ago. And he decided that he was going to go to Eretz Yisrael, that's it. But one thing he couldn't bring with him to Eretz Yisrael, he would not go to Eretz Yisrael, such a kadosh, holy place, with his Yetzer Hara. So this tzaddik had a whole argument with his Yetzer Hara, back and forth, saying, like, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, but you can't come with me. So, God, no, I have to come. Back and forth, he's having this, you know, supernal argument with the Yetzer Hara. Finally, the Yetzer Hara says, fine, you're right, you won the argument, I'm not coming to Eretz Yisrael. So he's overjoyed, he books his ticket on the boat, and packs up his bags, he gets on the boat, as he's coming down the ramp in Haifa, he, like, almost bumps into the Yetzer Hara. He says, what are you doing here? I thought we had a deal. He looks at him and goes, a deal? He says, yeah, you remember. Don't make it like you don't remember the deal. We said you weren't coming. He says, ah, you must be talking about the Yetzer Hara from Chutz Laaretz. I'm the Yetzer from Eretz Yisrael. You never made any deal with me. So Moshe Weinberger wrote out the story. He said...
Is there Moshe or like a...
What? No, he says that it happened. He says that it happened. That the point of the story also is that the Yetzer Hara is everywhere. You think you can get away from the Yetzer Hara, you can't get away from him. He's going to be in Chutz Laaretz, he's going to be in Eretz Yisrael, he's going to be in the Yeshiva, he's going to be in town, and he's going to be in every place where you go. He's right there in your head, in your heart, wherever you want, wherever
okay,
you want.
The $64 question is,
okay,
is the Yetzer Hara that comes from here better or worse than the Yetzer Hara that you left in Chutz Laaretz?
Oh, you mean Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laaretz?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a $64,000 question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would assume that it's the Yetzer Hara of Chutz Laaretz is more coarse, and the Yetzer of Eretz Yisrael, when we say there's always the Yetzer Hara, you know, Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Yetzer Hara is probably a little different than mine. What's the difference? If he has the Yetzer Hara also, the difference is that you're talking on a much different level. So even though the Yetzer is everywhere, but when you're talking about big tzaddikim, it's on a very, very, very subtle level. Rav Nachman speaks about it a little bit in some of the Torahs. He says that the Yetzer Hara, like even when you go overcome the whole Yetzer Hara, you still have Yetzer Hara as the sphakis as to what to do. And then all sorts of Yetzer Haras all the way until Moshe Rabbeinu even had a suffix as whether he should add another day, and the Kutei Halacha speaks about it to Kabbalah's Torah, and he did it himself. That was his Yetzer Hara. He wasn't sure what to do. All the time we're going to have places and things that we're not sure what to do, so if you ask me, just off the top of my head, the Yetzer Hara of Chutz Laaretz is probably more like, you know, billboards. And Yitzhak is more subtle, you know. Should I think about that? Should I think about that guy bad on the bus because he's doing this and he's doing that? He's tucking his iPhone and he has a hat and jacket. What does he think? You know, Yitzhak is probably more coarse. Yitzhak is probably more internal. But nonetheless, it's there. You have to overcome each one in its place. The Ezer Eliyahu, Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir, he points out an interesting thing. He says, Nitayar Bailey, which we're speaking about in this Mishnah, he's the one that says this Mishnah, he is the second half of the Zug that spoke about was spoken about in the first Mishnah, the Mishnah ago. The first one was Rabbi Shimon Prakhet. That one was saying, he's very interesting shot. So the Bartanur explained over there that what does it mean, Lens is falling out of my eye. Okay. What does it mean to don the kaskas? So the Ratzinu explained that the only time you have to really don a peep shot, when you have to judge a person favorably, is when you're not sure what he is or who he is. You have an ambiguous guy. If you have a Rasha, you could judge him, if you know him to be a Rasha, however you know that, you can judge him non-favorably. And you have a tzaddik, you have to judge him always, you know, that he did tshuva already, whatever he did. But a person that you're not sure, you see a guy, Stam, on the bus, whatever, you have to always judge him favorably. So the Ezer Eliyahu says, if so, this Mishnah is telling us to stay away from the Rasha. I'll describe the Rasha. What does that mean? And don't come too close to bad neighbors. He says, basically, if you come too close to your neighbors, if you come too close to these Rishon, then you see who they are. You see them in all their glory, and then they're in their category of what they really are, which sometimes could be a Rasha. And then you have to judge them poorly. So the Mela, he says that this Mishnah is telling us, if you're going to see a neighbor or another person, make sure that you don't stay too close to them. Keep them a little bit distant, so that you can always claim that I don't know what his true essence is. I don't know if he's a Rasha. I don't know if he's a tzaddik. And if you do that, then you're going to be able to always say that, listen, he's an ambiguous guy in my head, and therefore I'm going to try to judge him favorably. Fine. The other that's telling us basically to stay away from a bad neighbor. The other pshat that the Koznitzer Maggid says is the exact opposite. He says that you should try to connect yourself to people. But this Mishnah is actually telling us that. He brings a Gemara in Brachas that says, Rish Lakish says, anyone who has a shul in a city and doesn't go there to daven is called a shachin ra. He's called a bad neighbor. Why? Because Hashem is found in the shul. So if you're not coming to visit Hashem in the shul, then you're being not neighborly. You're being, you know, a bad neighbor. So he says the same thing over here. When it says distance yourself from a bad neighbor, a person that doesn't go to shul is a bad neighbor. She says, distance yourself from being a bad neighbor and make sure you go to shul every single day. Don't worry. Interesting thing that from the last Mishnah, which connects to this, is that sometimes, as much as you want to go to shul, same things happen and you can't go to shul. An oinus, you know, maybe, you know, sleeping late on a Sunday morning might not be an oinus, but if, you know, your wife had triplets and, you know, the other seven kids are home alone, so maybe that's considered an oinus. You have an oinus that you can't get to shul, whatever it is, and you have to daven at home, so he's davening at home. So he says, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, the Talmud from the Baal Shem Tov says, what does this mean? What do you do? He says, if you're going to do that, you should make sure to connect yourself in your mind and your heart with all the other people that are davening Tefillah Shelo B'Tzibur. All the other people that are davening B'Yechidos alone, connect to them. And by doing that, you're creating almost like a virtual shul. All these loners that happen to be that they, for what extenuating circumstances, cannot get to a shul, they're all in a minyan together, their own minyan, called the loner minyan. And all these people connect together to create their own minyan. And he says, that's the pshat from last Mishnah, Asei Lecha Rav. He says, make for yourself a gathering of many. What does Asei Lecha Rav mean? It literally means to make yourself a Rebbe. He says, no, Asei Lecha Rav, make yourself a Rav, make yourself a Tzibur, make yourself a Chavra. How do you make yourself a Chavra? By connecting to everyone. Uknei Lecha Chavra, and that's how you do it, by connecting yourself to all the Chavirim, all the different people that are stuck, wherever they are, that they can't connect, they can't get to Shul. And then, everyone knows that the Tzibur, the Tefillah that's with 10 people together, is much more powerful and judged meritoriously than just the Tzibur of a single person. So by doing that, even though you might be davening in your own house, since you're connecting in your mind and your heart to the other people that are alone, and in such a circumstance, those Tefillahs are connected together to a whole Tzibur, which has this meritorious acceptance of the Tefillahs, Be'ezus Hashem. But an interesting thing that Rav Yitzchak Volozhiner, I think he's a son of Chaim, maybe. Mili de Abbas, he says, interesting shot in this, he says, Hachek mi shachin ra v'al tischaber l'rasha. What does he say? He says, Hachek mi shachin ra. He sounds like a real Hasidic bar. Hachek mi shachin ra. distancing yourself from other people is bad. You have to go out, speak to people, be friendly to everyone. However, if you see that they're having a bad influence on you, you have to make sure that you stay far away from them. I had a guy that used to come to our house years ago, and he was in acting, and acting is a pretty tough business in America. As much as it's glamorous and glorious, there's only like one out of a million that make it. And he was really trying hard to make it for years. He was the card guy at Saturday Night Live. He would hold the cards that they read from. Surprised that they don't know other things about that. But yeah, they actually just read it off cards. And he was the card guy. And for years he was trying to make ends meet by this and meet people and connections. Finally, you know, you'd get like little acting jobs and like, you know, foolish plays and stuff. Finally he got like this college thing that made like a commercial. And they made this like series of commercials with him as being the lead guy. And it became like a cult hit. Like everyone wanted to see this like college commercial like on some cable channel. And all of a sudden he started getting like phone calls from Coca-Cola and Pepsi and from American Express. And everyone, they were like, we saw your commercial. We want to do commercials with you, you know. And once that happens, you get into the commercials. And then from, you know, you're on a Coke commercial, forget it. And you got 20 more, you know, offers for shows and television. And then from there, who knows what. And right at that time, he started getting into Yiddishkeit. And he started going to Orsameach. And he started learning and more and more. And he was like so torn. He was like, oh my gosh. And he said he had all these on his message machine as he was like, he's like, I'm from, like, he like made a decision, he's from, but was, you know, what does that have to do with acting? You know, I'm obviously not going to touch any woman, and I'm obviously going to keep kosher, and I'm going to keep Shabbos. I'm never going to do something on Shabbos. You have fresh bal tshuva. So what am I supposed to do? So he went to Stephen Hill. If anyone knows Stephen Hill, he was Ethan Hawke on Mission Impossible from back in the first Mission Impossible when it was on television in the 1960s. He was Mamish, one of the top actors in Hollywood. And he also became Frum. And for many years, he I think, didn't have much to do. And then he became the district attorney on Law Order for many years in the 90s. Anyway, so he went to him and he spoke to him. He's a really Frum guy. He has Hasidic kids, Stephen Hill. Here?
Yeah, Jonas.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't even know. There you know. There you go. For sure you know Stephen Hill. So, okay, you still got to meet him. So, he basically, this guy went over to Stephen, had a whole dinner with him, and he said, you know, explained the whole situation, and obviously he could have the best pronunciation for the rest of his life. And Stephen Hill just told him, if you want to stay from, you run far away, you delete all the messages, and you don't have anything to do with them. And Kachava, he did that, Imam just deleted all the messages, became really from, and married, and kids, and I don't know the end of the story, because a lot of these people, you know, 10, 15 years later, they end up using what they have, the Kedusha. Rabbi Yosef Karduner also, he was like, you know, amazing musician, and then for 10 years or 15 years, he like didn't touch his guitar. He felt like it was like, you know, bad from the bad days. And then one day he just realized, like it struck him that like, he should use the guitar to bring people closer to Hashem. He has a talent that he just picked up the guitar. He said, I heard this once at a concert, he said it, and he just started singing, Tismach, this song just came out of his neshama. You know, there's signs along the way to come back. You know, like he has a song that's inside of him, and since then, obviously, he's been making music and bringing people closer to Hashem in incredible ways with his music. But a lot of times, these people take a good, you know, 10, 15 year leave of absence to kind of wash out the bad from whatever it is that they're doing.
Maybe this guy should do commercials for the Irishman.
Maybe now. This is around 15 years. Yeah, I'll try to find them. Anyways, so that was basically another thing. After Shabbat Russia, you should definitely connect to people, but be careful always again of being too close to the bad influence. The Baal Shem Tov has an incredibly unique interpretation of this Mishnah. Not so far away from the Volozhiner one, but also pretty far out from the way it's read. Harchek Mishachin Ra, he says like this, Mishachin Etzlam Harchek Es Hara. From he who dwells near you, distance the bad. Which means, what does it mean? Doesn't seem to mean anything. From he, like Hashem, who's near you, who dwells near you, distance the bad. He says, explains to the mashal. He says, when the king is in his palace, so it's almost impossible for the average guy to have an audience. You have to make preparations, you have to get an appointment, and then you have to prepare yourself. But when the king is being with Tayel, and he's going out for a stroll in the fields, and he's with a couple of guards, so you happen to be there, you see the king, you're like, hey, king, you know, and you can hang out, and you can schmooze a little bit. He says the same thing is with Hashem. When he was in the Beis HaMikdash, he wanted to come to the Beis HaMikdash? No way. You have to prepare yourself, go to the mikvah, and do the whole thing, and then you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you come to Hashem. But now in Golis, it's almost, even though it's a bad place, and it's a dark place, it's almost like Hashem is not in the Beis HaMikdash, he's everywhere. He's here, he's more like in exile next to us. So he says that basically, all that's needed nowadays to come close to him, he says, since he's so close to us in a certain way, is just to push away the bad thoughts. Push away the bad, and right then you're there, right with Hashem. Just push away the bad. So how do you do that, though? You have the Yetzirah, we said, Sassema says he's right inside of you. And, you know, he's all over, wherever you are, and yourself. So Rav Nachman and many other tzaddikim say that the main way to push away the bad is only one way, is to think of good. And the only way to think of good is to think of one good thought at one time. Because you're going to think, I'm going to think of good, and you're going to think of a whole thing, and it overwhelms you, and then all of a sudden you're thinking about the bad again. Or you're trying to run away, or you're looking over your shoulder, the bad, I'm not thinking about that, I'm not thinking about that. You know, don't think about a pink elephant. Think about a pink elephant. You know, so the only way is to actually focus yourself consciously on something else, and by doing that, there is no other thought, because you're thinking about something else. And, you know, Nachman actually says that, I think Rav Nachman, maybe Rav Nachman has brought down that, it even means that you can think about business or modern day sports or anything like that. Anything that's less, you know, more kadosh than the thing that's trying to attack you, you hop around something else, and that thought is actually kadosh with tar in a certain way. Rav Nachman brings this out in a beautiful way. He has a quote from the famous Gemara. It says, "Ein bein chametz lematzah lemashu." There's no difference between chametz and matzah and mashu. So literally, it means that chametz is, you know, 17 minutes, 59 seconds, you got matzah. Another couple of seconds later, you got a chametz. But as the Mefarshim explained, chametz and matzah are the same osios, and the ches and the hay are the only two differences. And the difference between the hay and the ches is just a little bit, you know, in the physical makeup of the word, of the letter, is just a little bit connecting the foot of the thing to the top over there is a ches and a hay. Rav Nachman says, what does this mean, though? He says that it means like this. He says that Yetzer doesn't come to a guy and tell him, listen, you know, you're a good guy, you're learning in yeshiva, but I think you should go out now and stop keeping Shabbos and go to Tel Aviv and lead a secular life. He doesn't come to a guy like that. He comes to him and says, you know, maybe you should come a little late for Shabbos. And he says, maybe, you know, you could eat Rabbanut, it's not the biggest of deal. And he says, you could eat this, you could do this, and he just bites away at you a little bit. You don't have to learn so much. Maybe you should read a little bit of this. And he says, he bites away at you, tipa, tipa, tipa. He says, that's the difference. Ein min chametz lemata elamashu. The Yetzer never comes with big stuff. He comes with mashu, with tipa, tipa. He comes with very small things. And that's how he eventually draws a person away entirely from Kedusha. Rav Nachman says that everyone knows Midatov Meruba. The side of good has a certain power that's much more powerful than the side of evil, even though it seems that evil is so strong. But Midatov Meruba. And therefore, a person who uses that same kafa that the Yetzer uses against us, against him, will win. What? He just says, now I want to learn for 1 minute. Now I want to learn for one more second. Like the Rebbe says in Hayom Yom Kodesh Hashmoh, that each second a person has to realize Yetzer is overwhelming us with everything. Like, you're going to learn for the rest of your life, you're going to do the rest of your stress, and the seder you're going to learn, so fine, I don't know, I have no strength, I have no mind, I'm only going to learn now this next line of Likutei Moran, that's it, I can't think anymore, but I'm just going to learn the next line of Gemara. When doing that, a person takes a little bit, and he's able to then break away from the Yetzer Hara in the side of good. I see actually an allusion of this from Pitim HaKtoros at the end of Shacharis. One of the spices that's offered that we say every day in the end of Shacharis, or if someone says Karbanos in the beginning and the end, so it says Mala Ashen Kalshu. What is the Mala Ashen? So Gemara speaks about the Mala Ashen in very mysterious ways. It's like this mysterious plant that no one knew the secret of what plant it was. Anyone who would take it and use it for the Ketores got fabulously rich. So the Kohanim, the families that were involved in Mala Ashen, would guard the secret very, very much. A whole interesting stories about how the Mala Ashen made a person rich. And this thing, this malashin, it says in the counting of how much ketores you should put for each thing was kosher. You could have a tipa, a drop of malashin, and that was enough. That's all you needed for the thing. But the ma'aseh, what does malashin mean? It literally means ma'ale ashan, to lift up the cloud. Rebbe says in one of the Torahs, he says that a person's mind is filled with clouds, ashanim sruchim, filthy clouds. A person's mind sometimes is filled with all sorts of dirty clouds, and it clouds a person's judgment, like we say in English, clouding the judgment, that we can't see straight, we can't think straight. That's what Mala Ashen could be referring to. How do you lift the clouds that are dirty in your mind? If your mind is thinking all sorts of bad things, kosher, like Rav Nachman saying, Ein min chametz lemata lemashu, just a tipa. What can you do to clear your mind? Just a tipa, one thought right now. I'm thinking a thought, whether it be sports, sometimes, you know, sports can be kadosh if that's the thing, you know. The rabbis used to say the sports was holy, thank God for sports, because if not, the Goyim would be killing the Jews, you know. You see, the Arabs, what do they have? They have soccer, and they kill Jews all day. In America, they have baseball, football, hockey, and what's the other one? You know, basketball, and all four seasons, they're busy all day with sports, you know, they don't have time to kill Jews, you know. Some of the guys are nebuch, you know, bored, they're blacks, they can't play hockey, so they, you know, but like, if a guy's involved in sports, what time do they have to kill Jews? The rabbis used to say they're godless in sports, but my brother...
Look at the British soccer leagues.
Yeah.
I mean, one fan team kills another fan.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, who needs war when they can battle themselves?
Yeah. But my brother-in-law, he's actually, he lives in a community in America, and you know, he says sometimes he's invited out for Shabbos meals, quote unquote normal community in America, and the conversation turns to what it turns to, Lashon Hara, Achilles, Avodah Zarah, Shvuyas Damim, you know, all the fun things in life. So he like slams on the table and he's like, "No, what's with the Yankees?" And he just starts like an in-depth conversation, and guys get drawn into that, at least the guys will, to sports, and he says, "Well, for sure, for sports, you know. No, it was Lashon Hara, all these things. And that's sports. What's wrong?" You know, like, he modish follows sports in depth because he, like, does that. And he says, that's the same thing, that basically, if you think of a good thought, it takes you away from a lot of bad thoughts. And if those bad thoughts are really bad, then you have to think of a good thought. If that good thought is sports, great. If you can make it into Torah, if you can make it into anything, ma'tov, ma'nayim. But the point is that when you do focus your mind on anything kadosh, then your mind cannot, by definition, be involved in the other stuff. And so Hashem should help us that we should think one thought at a time, good stuff, and stay away from the other stuff. That's what Hashem. Go ahead.